Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. We're here to take your calls as well. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome back to No Compromise Radio Ministry. The days go by quickly, don't they? Today is Friday. If you'd like to email us, info@nocompromiseradio.com. You can go to bbcchurch.org, or you could probably go to wvne.net and find your way to us if you've got questions or comments. Today is Mystery Friday, and the last two Fridays we've looked at the claims of Seventh-day Adventism. The people who are worshiping on Saturday, seventh day, that is the seventh day, the first day is Sunday, and Adventist, meaning they stress the soon return of Christ. I think it'd be fair to say that if there is a religion that is started by a woman, you ought to run from that religion. A religion started by a person, you should run, but especially a lady. Why? Well, that's probably another show, and maybe you're mad when I say that, but Ellen G. White is a false prophet. Ellen G. White is the leader of the Seventh Adventist Church by proxy now because she is dead. But Ellen G. White, we've looked at the last 2 weeks, the last two Fridays, basically what she said and what the Bible says, and they are contrary to one another. Now, she may have said some things that are true, but we're looking at the things that she says that are blasphemous, that are false, so that you know. You have to stand up for the truth. You just can't live your Christian life with your head in the sand and say, well, all these false teachers and all these kind of things against Christianity, they'll all go away. We need men and women to stand up to say, this is the truth. That's error. This is right. That's a lie. That's just part of being a Christian. That's part of being a good Christian citizen. It's a good thing to do. If you only contend earnestly for the faith and you don't speak the truth in love and you don't love one another, well, then there's a problem. But if you only have love and only have the social gospel and never stand up against error, then you are not acting biblically. All you have to do is look at what Ellen G. White says about her writings, about who Jesus is, and then what Jesus did on the cross. By the way, I thought I had come up with the source, Savior and Salvation paradigm for analyzing cults and false teachers. And then I heard Adrian Rogers preaching about JWs have the wrong source and they have the wrong Savior. So I don't know if he has salvation the next one. But see, I thought I was original and I wasn't. But that's okay. They have the Bible plus Ellen G. White and the Seventh-day Adventist. They have the wrong Savior, and they believe that Jesus isn't the sin bearer. They believe that Satan bears our sins. Listen to the great controversy, Ellen G. White, page 422. It was seen also that while the sin offering pointed to Christ as a sacrifice, and the high priest represented Christ as a mediator, the scapegoat typified Satan, the author of sin, upon whom the sins of the truly penitent will finally be placed. She goes on to say on page 485 of the same book, that's a book you should probably burn, that's another show, as the priest in removing the sins from the sanctuary confessed them upon the head of the scapegoat, so Christ will place all these sins upon Satan, the originator and instigator of sin. End quote. Ellen G. White is wrong. Ellen G. White is extremely wrong. I hope Ellen G. White didn't die believing such nonsense. In the Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 475, it says their sins are transferred to the originator of sin. And so the church believes, that church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, believes that Jesus places the sins on Satan, and he's the ultimate sin bearer. When the Bible couldn't be clearer, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and he himself, if you ever see the word himself in Scripture, it is for emphasis. It could say he bore our sins, but 1 Peter 2 writes, and he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Could it be any plainer? No, it could not be. How many false prophecies does it take to be a false prophet? The answer is one. How about this, John 1:29, but the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world and places them on Satan. That's not what the Bible says. Who takes away the sin of the world. But if you've got a Jesus like Seventh-day Adventism has that will not cancel sin, what do you do? Here's what the Patriarchs and Prophets says, page 357. The blood of Christ, while it was to release the penitent sinner from the condemnation of the law, was not to cancel sin. Did you hear that? You should probably have to pull over in Los Angeles when there's an earthquake and you're driving your car. It feels like you've got a flat tire. Maybe you should pull over and see if your tire's flat when the patriarchs and the prophets say Jesus' death, his blood, was not to cancel sin. It will stand in the sanctuary until the final atonement. That's not true. Can you believe the Seventh-day Adventists believe in 1844 the work of blotting out sins began? That's Christ in the Sanctuary, page 122. I think I'll go for what the Bible says. How about you? Ephesians 1:7, in him we currently have, present tense, we have continually redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That was Paul back in 60-62 A.D., somewhere around there. He didn't have to wait till 1844 at all. Again, I've said it before, this is some kind of peyote. This is some kind of salsa people eat at night and come up with these kooky ideas. When the Bible's not enough, nothing is enough. When you won't want to study the Bible and just be under it, you've got to find somebody else to give you the special hidden meanings. And then you've got big trouble. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin, but not until the Civil War, 1844. Of course, that's not what it says. It cleanses us from all sins. We have to be careful that when we have groups saying things like this, someone has to stand up. It might not be politically correct. It might not win you brownie points. But if people are standing up saying things against the Savior like this, then I'll say something against them. I'm ready for the Seventh-day Adventist Church to say we renounce all these blasphemous writings. I will then have them on the show and say, good for you. Hurrah! Worshiping on the seventh day is not that big a deal. Wanting Jesus to come back soon, of course, is a good idea. It's these things that are the problem. Well, how about this? You tell me if you like this or not. Does this kind of get your ire up? Does this kind of make you mad? Man, who was defaced the image of God in his soul by a corrupt life, cannot by mere human effort effect a radical change in himself. He must accept the provisions of the gospel. He must be reconciled to God through obedience to his law and faith in Christ Jesus. Testimonies, volume 4, page 294. Do you know what that is? That is salvation by works. Obedience to his law and faith in Christ. See, the beginning of that quote sounded really good, didn't it? But just like with poison, snake venom, it's 20% poison and 80% protein, and it'll still kill you. How about Testimonies, Volume 4, page 28? To obey the commandments of God is the only way to earn his favor. The only way to obtain his favor. How about this? Page 294. Man must be reconciled to God through obedience to his law. So we see the true colors of Seventh-day Adventism. You don't read things like Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. You don't read that. You don't see Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 7. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. You don't read Romans 3:24 in that, being justified as a gift by his grace. You don't read Romans chapter 3, verse 28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. You don't read that at all. On April 9th, 1893, Mrs. White wrote a letter to A.T. Jones to correct his teaching that salvation was by grace alone, through faith alone, plus nothing. This is Selected Messages, Book 1, page 377. This should make you mad if you love grace. In my dream, you were presenting the subject of faith and the imputed righteousness of Christ by faith. You repeated several times that works amounted to nothing, that there were no conditions. I decided to write to you. You state this matter too strongly. There are conditions to our receiving justification and sanctification and the righteousness of Christ. I know your meaning, but you leave a wrong impression upon many minds. While good works will not save even one soul, yet it is impossible for even one soul to be saved without good works. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 377. Salvation by Christ alone, through faith alone, through grace alone, is denied by Ellen G. White. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough for you to say, I think I better be careful? And with all the intensity that you have towards me to say, yeah, but you don't understand, there's some people who are Christians there. Why don't you use that same intensity, that same enthusiasm that you want to approach me with, and approach your Seventh-day Adventist friends to tell them to run, to get out of Dodge, to get out of there, to run from that kind of teaching. When Seventh-day Adventism renounces Ellen G. White and her false teachings, then I think we can all sit down at the table. But until then, friends, you add one part of works to 10 billion parts of grace, and what do you have? I'll tell you what you have. You have no hope of heaven. You have no hope of heaven. Romans chapter 11, verse 6 will bear that out. I mean, these salvation issues are the issues, but there are other things going on too. And to me, you have to examine Seventh-day Adventism's issues when it comes to food, what foods you could have and what food you can't. I moved into this town and I went down the street to the local grocery store and I thought there's all kinds of tofu corn dogs, tofu this, tofu that, but it wasn't kind of California organic. What was it? And it dawned on me, I'm right down the street from Atlantic Union College, home of the New England Seventh-day Adventists. No wonder there are so many things there. What kind of foods you can have, what kind of foods you can't have. Friends, let me say this. If somebody tells you that God doesn't want you to eat certain kinds of foods, then here's what you tell them. You tell them to stop teaching you doctrines of demons. This is not a demon, something about demons. These are demons influencing people to have such unbiblical notions like there are certain foods that you cannot eat. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes to Timothy, the elder at Ephesus, but the Spirit, capital S, explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Not just one doctrine, not just singular doctrine, but plural doctrines, heresies, false teaching. These people apostatize. They show that they were never Christians in the first place, and they fall into the doctrines of demons. Verse 2 of 1 Timothy 4, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. These demons don't say, well, I'll talk. They use instruments. They use people. They use literally hypocritical lie speakers. They use people who speak falsely in hypocrisy. They have to have a puppet. It's kind of like the Muppet Show. You've got Jim Henson behind the scenes working. Here you have the demons behind the scenes working with all the strings, getting Mrs. Piggy to say whatever she said. And so what happens? Paul lists two of these heretical teachings that demons teach through puppets, through seared hypocritical lie speakers. 1 Timothy 4:3, men who forbid marriage, that's the first thing that they teach, and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. What do? They have an issue with marriage, and they have an issue with food. God made food to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. And you can see all the food that God made before the flood and said to Adam and Eve to eat it. And then you can see even how God said after Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, when you have the flood and all the effects, that now men and women most likely need to eat meat. And so God said it's fine to eat meat. And here, God says, if you are thankful for the food that you want to eat, whether that's a cow or whether that's a lamb or whether that's a dog, whatever you want to eat, you are thankful to God and you can eat it. And if somebody says that you can't for religious, biblical sanctification issues, then they are telling you doctrines of demons. Why? Verse 4. For everything created by God is good. Did you know roast beef is good? Did you know cheese is good? Did you know eggs are good? And nothing, the text says, is to be rejected if it is to be received with gratitude. Don't let the Seventh-day Adventists tell you there are certain foods that you need to reject for religious reasons. Now, if your doctor says you should stay away from red meat and eat fish more often, fine, I don't care about that. But we're talking about this religious issue. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, for it is sanctified by means of the word and of prayer. Say, I don't want to know about this, la, 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 fingers in the ears, I don't like to hear about this. Verse 6, and pointing out these things to the brethren, Timothy, you will be a good servant of Christ, nourished constantly on the words of faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. So here's the issue. NoCompromiseRadio.com. My name is Mike Abendroth. We're talking today, Friday, about Seventh-day Adventism. Now, it's bad enough to have the wrong Jesus. It's bad enough to have the wrong way of salvation. It's bad enough to say it's the Bible plus. But then it spills into other areas as well. Listen to what the false prophet Ellen G. White said about food. Now, you've just heard what Jesus, through his apostolic messenger Paul, said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Now, you've just heard that. You can eat whatever you want. If anybody who says you can't eat some of these things for these religious reasons, they are spouting doctrines of demons. And they're a puppet. They're a hypocritical lie speaker who says these things because God created all these things for you to enjoy. It's good to sit down to a nice tenderloin steak cooked ultra rarely, and then you just eat that, put some salt on it, and just say, that's a good thing to do. And say, God, thank you for that. That was a good cow. That tasted really good. If you want to sit down with a nice roast beef sandwich, really bloody, and it's just juice all over, and you take a big bite into that, the juice runs down your arms to your elbows, you say, God, you are so good. You could make me have food that just tastes bland, but you've given me taste buds and senses, and you are just a great God. That's what's supposed to happen. Now listen to what Ellen G. White and the Seventh-day Adventist people claim. Let not any of our ministers set an evil example in the eating of flesh meat. Number 399, CDF 399. What is that? I'll tell you, that's a hypocritical lie speaker who is spouting off the doctrines of demons. CDF 410, God did not provide for the flesh of dead animals to compose the diet of man. Oh, really? Who said that? Some kind of hot wigwam that you're sitting in there for long enough and then your mind starts getting to be fried and then you come up with these things out of your own gizzard? That is so wrong. CDF 395, the more largely flesh composes the diet of teachers and pupils, the less susceptible will be the mind to comprehend spiritual things. Wrong. I mean, I'm tempted to say they do what she said not to do, and that's why they're so loony on these things. This is not true. How about this? Here we go. It's getting from bad to worse. 2T400, eggs should not be placed upon your table. They're an injury to your children. CDF 368, cheese is wholly unfit for food. 3T136, spices, butter, cheese do their work of deranging the stomach and enfeebling the intellect. I'm telling you, this is kooky. This is giggle juice. This is some kind of anesthesia that people are taking. No, this is the doctrine of demons. MH316, what man with a human heart could look into the eyes of animals and willingly devour their flesh? UT, August 30th, 1896, the selfishness of taking the lives of animals. And so we have pre-PETA PETA here, or as we say in New England, pre-Peter Peter. And so what are people thinking? CDF 380, the Lord would bring his people into a position where they will not touch or taste the flesh of dead animals. CDF 380, how can those who are seeking to become pure and holy, that they may have the companionship of heavenly angels, take the life of God's creatures that they may consume flesh? And lastly, CDF 380, among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will eventually be done away. Friends, Ellen G. White is a false prophet. Ellen G. White is a liar. You need to evangelize your Seventh-day Adventism friends. And once you want them to not be in bondage, it's one thing if you were Israel back in the Mosaic Law and you couldn't eat certain food because God told you not to for a certain reason. But it's another thing now when we can eat whatever we'd like as long as we're thankful for it and enjoy the goodness of God and his provision and how God does things exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ask or think. He lavishes goodness upon his children. He with bounty gives us food and meat and things to eat. That sounded like a rhyme. Why don't you tell them they're doing all this for a lie? They're doing all this for a lie. Women leadership, women preachers, wrong kind of things to eat, wrong Savior. Jesus has got to put some kind of sins on Satan. Let alone soul sleep. Did you know Seventh-day Adventists deny that believers on death go to heaven? Absent from the body, sleep? That's not true. They say believers go into soul sleep in the grave until Jesus returns, along with Jehovah's Witnesses, along with the Christadelphians, and other false groups. They believe this error. Listen to Philippians 1:23. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to be part and to be with Christ, which is far better. If I didn't use the King James, maybe somebody wouldn't like it, but he doesn't know which one to do, but he says, you know what, I'd rather be with Christ. That's far better. He didn't say sleep. Absent from the body, 2 Corinthians 5:8, is to be sleeping. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hebrews 12:1, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I thought they were sleeping. Hebrews chapter 12, the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven and to the spirits of the just men made perfect. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Friends, there's enough here for Seventh-day Adventism to not even get to why we worship on Sunday, why we say when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was on the first day of the week. Why Pentecost happened on the first day of the week. Why the apostles and first disciples met on the first day of the week. Why the epistle of Barnabas, the epistle of Ignatius, other historical writings all talk about meeting on Sunday, the first day of the week. We could talk about Colossians, where people aren't supposed to judge those who meet on certain days. We could get to all that. But it's hard to get to that when you've got the wrong source of authority, when you've got the wrong Savior, and you've got the wrong way to get to heaven. The Lord's Day issue seems to be much less important, doesn't it? You see Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12, and how they're meeting on the Lord's Day to celebrate the Lord's Supper. You can see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. On the first day of the week, they're setting aside money for giving. You can see when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors were shut and Jesus appears. You can see it in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, the Lord's Day. There's plenty to look at when it comes to Sabbath, but we don't even need to get to Sabbath. Sadly, we don't even really need to get to food. We could talk about food, but we need to tell our friends at the Seventh-day Adventist quote-unquote church that there is a freedom found in Christ Jesus because grace is a free gift. Grace is a sovereign grace. Grace is sovereign and free, and there is nothing that people can add. Grace is something that can only be experienced by receiving through the non-saving, non-meriting, rather, gift of faith. Faith receives this. It turns away and says, I contribute nothing, and I'm going to receive what Christ did and believe it by faith. Jesus came to seek and save sinners, those who are lost, those who try to save themselves. Seventh-day Adventists, get rid of Ellen G. White's teaching and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who freely and fully saves. info@nocompromiseradio.com. God bless you.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.